You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
G'day, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matty Peverell, joined as always by my co-host, Mikey D. Mikey Davison, how you doing, mate?
You sound like you're a tour guide for like Australia.
G'day, guys. Welcome back to Steelers Touch Down Under. On your right over here is the Kangaroos. If you don't like the Kangaroos, come check out the Koala Bears too. Oh, if you're not a fan of the Koala Bears, check out the Wallabies. The Wallabies are great.
And then some bogan Aussie yells over and goes, "Koala bear, it's just a koala, you dumb hell." Oh, I was going to swear then. oh, pull back from that one. Nah, but mate, how are you? It's been an interesting week. What? It's rainy here. It's cold here. It's yuck here.
You know what's funny, man? Fun. No one really cares about the wombat, do they?
I like the wombat.
Everyone talks about the kangaroos and the koala bears, and no one really talks about the wombat or the platypus.
Well, you know a fun fact about the... So, two fun facts. The wombat, do you know back like 200-300 years ago, they had wombats the size of hippos that were killing people, which is why like the indigenous and the English like banded together to kill them off. And then The other one with the platypus is the first platypus ever allowed outside of Australia at a zoo is now at San Diego Zoo. And most people don't realize, but the platypus has like a spike on its like paw that has like basically equivalent to venom in it. And there's no cure for it around the world. It basically numbs you and you're in crippling pain for like 2 weeks.
That's so good. Makes Australia even more dangerous. Come down to Australia. Like they always, you know, cute and cuddly animals. No, half these animals can rip your limbs off. It's great.
Exactly. Or put you in a hospital in withering pain and like, common science hasn't figured it out yet.
Do you remember when James Harrison took that brown to the, you know, the fan, the tackled the fan to the ground?
Yeah.
Like dead set, just picked him up. It's like that with a kangaroo or some animals here. And even Daredevil says here too, quokkas are cool. We talked about quokkas a few years ago on one of the shows. Quokkas are like the docile, like looking like, I don't know if they're like a rat or like a, I don't know what they are exactly, but
they are like technically a rodent, I think.
Yeah, like a rodent. They're always just happy, just chilling out there eating the leaves. But yeah, quokkas are
they look a bit like a very happy, small capybara.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Clappy for it. Make the platypus our next running back. Yeah, well, right now we've got a few wombats to just slow and trudge along. So,
oh, definitely. We should do that kind of show where... like
we should do, you know what? We should do that next week. We should do an Australian show of like different animals and characters.
Benny Snell has to be a wombat. He's too slow in the backfield.
Who?
Like Benny Snell is a wombat for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking, that's a good segue into the offense. Last week, we talked about the odd men out on the defense. We sought to talk about the odd men out in general, but Mark and I, as everyone knows, love our defense. And we got a little bit, let's say, energetic about that defense. But you guys love the content. You guys love talking about Pittsburgh Steelers. And so also, there's 90 players on the roster. It's pretty hard to cover everyone off into, you know, both in offense and defense in one show. We found it hard enough to get through like 50 people. But so this week, we're going to be talking about the offense. And so if you're on the audio side, you know, we're now going to crack into the show. But live chat, looking forward to everything you guys are going to throw in as per usual on YouTube and Facebook. As I think we always like to say, and so do our BTSC colleagues, you know, you guys make the show. So throw in your thoughts and questions as always. But let's crack into it, Mark. So if I sort the Steelers roster alphabetically, the first position that is brought up is the center position when you talk about offense. So there are three centers listed right now, and they are Kendrick Green, JC Hassenhauer, and Chris Owens. But I thought I would also bring up the offensive line, the guys listed as offensive line, because there's guys like Mason Cole in there as well. So offensive line, you've got James Daniels, Mason Cole, Kevin Dotson, John LeGlue, Chukwuma Okorafor, Trent Scott. Now, obviously, Chukes we're probably saying is a tackle, but I'm just going off what their position they're listed as. So let's recap. Kendrick Green, JC Hassenhauer, Chris Owens. And then if we think about the guys that would likely play center, you're probably talking about Mason Cole and James Daniels potentially.
Right. So we're doing the odd man out, aren't we?
Who's looking like they might not be there?
Chris Owens. See ya. I don't know. I don't know who that dude is. Like a lot of these guys on the real back end, because how many people are in the offensive line, right? There are so many different people playing the position. I thought it was gonna be Cole. Cole would be there. I have heard Daniels being at center, but I've also heard that he's gonna stick there at right guard. Then you have the idea to, will Kendrick Green play left guard and behind Dotson? I think the camp in a few weeks' time is going to be very interesting, and hopefully I can pay attention to the offensive line and not get bored. But I'm telling you, because it's going to be very interesting there to see who will get the reps, number one. But if you're saying odd man out, I'm going to say it's Chris Owens, because I just don't know who the guy is. And it's look at the talent in front of him. There's so much talent.
Yeah, and I think with Hassenhauer, for me, like, I'm not going to argue with that one. I think Hassenhauer, it's more a practice squad thing. If they're really serious about moving Kendrick Green to guard, I do see a lineup. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lineup, particularly when you think about the role of a center with a quarterback, and particularly a rookie quarterback. Like, I think it was Matt Paredes that was there before. I think Mitch Morse is the center for Buffalo. But I remember them talking about bringing the center that Josh Allen started with over to help him out, because it would help him with the snap count. It would take the pressure off him. And they said it made a massive difference to his development. I wouldn't be surprised. So, which is why I wouldn't be surprised to see Dotson at guard, Green at guard, and Daniels at center to make life easier if Pickett is the starter, or if Pickett comes in the first few weeks of the season, if Trubisky gets injured. To me, it makes more sense to put someone that's super experienced there, that you know is going to do their job, and so that, you know, Kenny Pickett isn't facing pressure down through that center position. I could see that.
Yeah, well, you threw a spanner in the works there, depending who, if Pickett starts or if Trubisky starts. So that's another whole
we'll
show.
There. Help,
really. Yeah.
We'll get there later in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Everyone's on Mason Cole. I wish him all the best. I know we spent money on him. I just, if you actually go through what he's done, he's not that much better than Kendrick Green. I'm just saying that.
The narrative is now that Cole's going to start at center, Green's be pushed over to left guard, and then you have James Daniels starting at right. I don't really care where James Daniels starts. If we can just get five James Daniels, we'll be fine. Just to get everyone, you know, he's super excited to be a Steeler. So,
he's a leader.
Odd man out is going to be the undrafted free agent, but or rookie, whoever it is. But yeah, it's going to be. This line is completely, imagine, look at the line in the last two years or whatever. It's so different. Who's the only guy we know? It's Chooks, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Now, if we look at, let's go a bit wider then, because the next alphabetical player on the roster, because they make this really, really easy for shows like this. He's technically fullback, but we'll talk about that one a little bit later on, because we'll bracket that with tight end. But you've got Nate Gilliam at guard, and then going back into those, you know, offensive linemen, you've got, we talked about Mason Collins, James Daniels. Then we go Kevin Dotson, John LeGlue. I'm going to leave out Okorafor, but then Trent Scott. I mean, do you think LeGlue can make this roster, or do you think he's just a practice squad guy again? Because obviously Dotson.
It depends how many numbers they need for the guard position, right?
Yeah.
How many numbers they need. And what they're going to the season with normally about 9 offensive linemen. Is that correct? I think about 9.
Correct. I'm just trying to
calculate. Most seasons, I think Dave talks about it a bit. I think it's like normally 9. So you have the 5 starters and you have four backups. So I would say, like, can LeGlue be one of those backups? Because they also, even our tackle position too. Like, they brought in Trent Scott, the big unit. But then how many backups do you have behind that 5?
Well, and that's a good segue to bring up the tackles, because you got Jake Dixon, Dan Moore, Jordan Tucker. I mean, Jordan Tucker out of North Carolina, like, I've seen him
play
in North Carolina. I like the guy. Like, he's a guy. If I'm picking a flyer right now to make, you know, or a bolter, if you like, to make this squad out of there on the offensive line, out of guys that we haven't seen before, he's the guy, to be honest.
Because I think when you're saying these positions are individual, like guard or tackle, I think, like, I know when I'm talking right now, I'm going into the whole offensive line, because they can all play. They're all flexibility. So who's going to be behind the starting 5? Who would be the starting 5? And I think, like, Kendrick Green or JC Hasenhower will be, you know, either backup to maybe Dotson and Cole, depending. And then do we have... Is there a camp battle between, like, LeGlue and someone else, or Trent Scott, and then the other guys are just the other guys that are there to fill in? But I want to be surprised. I want someone to come in and just take over. And if it's Unbraker or someone we don't know about, that's what most excites me. Someone who's going to just go out there and work.
Yeah, and the thing that I think, you know, I know there are a few people that have talked about different tackles, like, you know, I think this is Riley Reiff and, you know, some of those guys, Eric Fisher and that. Like, but actually, he might have signed somewhere recently. I thought I saw that. I heard someone talking about that. But there's also guys, I could see some decent, you know, there'll be some tackles around this league that get cut, you know, as teams look at what they drafted, you know, right? You take the Cowboys and they brought in the Tulsa guy. His name's escaping me. His last name. Yeah, Tyler Smith, I think it is. They brought him in. Like, now they brought him in to start, and they thought they could use him in an interior position. But if they've got poor play elsewhere on the tackle part, they could cut a guy, for example. So you just don't know what's going to happen between now and the start of the season. But yeah, as I say, from my perspective, if I'm looking at a bolter, I definitely think I'm interested to see what Jordan Tucker can do through the preseason. But then obviously you've got a guy like, you know, LeGlue that played a little bit last year, who you'd kind of expect to make the practice squad at a minimum. Now, the thing we left out, though, was Joe Hague and Chaz Green, right? Because they're later in the alphabetical list at tackle. Chaz Green, we saw a little bit last year, you know, in terms of the preseason. I think he started 2 of the 3 games in the preseason. I'm not the biggest fan. I don't think he brings a lot, so I can't see him making this roster for me. Joe Hague, I can't see them cutting him, given he's probably the most experienced guy on the offensive line.
He's from Tampa, right? He's from Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He was a Tampa guy, yeah. But the thing for me, I think I might have spoken about on this podcast or War Room, but, like, you see him in photos or videos in Steelers training, and he just never looks like he wants to be there. I'm like, if I was getting paid a couple of million a year to play for the Steelers, I'd
he's
be
the, he's, like, the Jay, he's the Jay Cutler. Of guards.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler did not want to be on the field. He'd score a touchdown and Jay Cutler would be just depressed. He'd be like, okay.
Yeah. He's a weird cat, that guy, though. Like,
I got a question for you. So how many starters throughout the year do you want to be to start every week? Like, do you want James Daniels to start every game? Do you want another player to start every single game? We know it won't be the same line for 17 games. How many starters do you want to be the exact same, in the exact same role every week?
So I'm going to answer your question a little bit differently. I think a successful season, a season with limited injuries. Injuries are always going to happen. You know, even if they're a 1 week proposition, a 2 week proposition, or they're a 7 or 8 or even a season proposition, hopefully not. I would expect, I think it would be a good goal, objective, good mark, pass mark, if you like, if the Steelers had 7 guys that started on the offensive line across the 5 positions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what you're saying is there could be injuries, or someone gets demoted or whatever.
Or you give someone a break, you know, after the bye, or you've got someone that's like a 50-50 and you know, whatever. Because you also might have a situation with like where Kendrick Green was last year, where Hassenhauer started toward the end. Kendrick Green had the calf injury and they had him there to play if he needed to step in, but they didn't want him to have to play.
I'm going to answer my own question a bit differently. Right. So I want this season, I want to see 10 games or more with the same 5, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to see the exact same 5 playing at least 10 games.
Yeah, but, I agree. I think yeah, so I agree with that.
If we get into a situation where center doesn't work out and that chop and changes and they're not playing very well, or they change, let's move this guy here. So that's the perfect the time now for the offseason to work all these things out. But I know that James Daniels will be in there somewhere. Mason Cole will be in there somewhere. Of course, Dotson and who's the other? I always forget his name. Dan Moore Jr.
Dan Moore.
I think the Jr. throws me off. Dan Moore's in there, right? So I don't want to see like week one, you have 5, and then 2 weeks later, it's a whole new, you know, three new guys come in, right? There's got to be some cohesion there to build that forward through the season. And this is a crazy game when you think about it. I know a lot of people say like, you know, Steelers got to go out and win a Super Bowl, but there's so many things to it when you really think about it. They're playing over 17 weeks. They've got to get everything together.
There's also the luck of the draw. You know, like, yeah, it's pretty interesting. But, I mean, they, when you look at that spot overall and that guard and that tackle and, you know, center, it's quite confusing. I always find it funny on these lists and rosters, and when you come out through the draft, that they're always listed at something different to what they're playing. So whoever lists these positions needs to just like standardize it. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know. And this doesn't make it very easy.
Do you think the player, if the player is playing a certain position, if they're getting paid as a right guard or a right tackle, do you think they want to go and play the other position, or are they like in their mind set to that contract?
Oh, that's a good question.
Some,
I think for some players, yeah, they're definitely not versatile. But every player will sit there and say they're versatile through the draft process because it boosts their valuation, you know? Like, so, but yeah, I mean, some people adjust to it really well. Other people don't. Like, I've been listening to, I'm halfway through an interview that Bucky Brooks did with Thomas Davis, who was the linebacker partner for Luke Kuechly. At the Panthers.
Yeah, he was good. He was real fun to watch. God, he was a good.
He's a legend. And everyone knows how much of a fan I am of Luke Kuechly. And Luke Kuechly has talked a lot about how Davis pushed him. And so Davis was saying, well, actually, Kuechly pushed me. You know, so we were both just two dogs at the one bone, but they were able to share the bone, right?
Yeah.
But Davis, and it was, you know, fairly early in my time, like I wouldn't say I've ever watched a game that he played in college, but he was a safety for Georgia. And he was drafted to be a safety, like a 230-40-pound safety, a bit like what Brian Urlacher was in that situation as well. But he was talking about the fact that they were back, and Bucky Brooks and Thomas Davis were doing some back and forth on how, you know, because when he came to the league, he played linebacker and he was a bit, you know, a bit big, but that he said he could have shed a little bit of weight and, you know, been more focused on the tight end position, particularly with the way that he lined up in a 4-3 defense. But Bucky Brooks asked him, look, we just assume when we're evaluating college players that they're going to be able to switch positions. Like if there's, you know, sometimes that strong safety, but they could play in a deep safety role. It might be cornerback that can play slot corner. Like a slot corner is almost becoming its own different position, if you like, now, right? So, and a lot of people in the draft process, both in the college game and the people that evaluate it in scouting, will tell you that's very much the case. So you kind of, and even slot wide receiver to an extent, so you're sort of now seeing this evolve, but we all just assume, oh yeah, that guy can just plot over there. Like, you know, Dotson played right guard all in college. Like, and a lot of us want to see him go back. I think it makes sense to put him back there, But he's probably spent all his time learning left guard and how his footwork needs to be and his positioning. He might not want to be there anymore, right? He might want to go, I just want to do left guard. So who knows, right? It's just, what? But then you have one thing I find I'll say is then you, to answer your question, then you have a guy like Bud Dupree, who when his free agency tag came up, you know, he wanted to be listed as a defensive end because that's what he'd been a 4-3 because they had more money with that associated with the franchise tag there. So it's like,
Could you imagine if Dotson is playing like right guard and he forgets he always goes left and he goes like the opposite way, like he just like, or he goes, I don't know what he's doing, you know, or the team goes one way and he's like, he's like, oh, I forgot. It's gonna be so intriguing to watch this new line, really, because we've always had from the last 5 years or so, even with Big Ben, some of the Marquise Pouncey and the Castro and those dudes and. Being a Big Al, we never really talked about it. I think if we had a show, we wouldn't talk about that much because we knew those guys were going to be starter. Now it's like the new guys coming in. It's going to be very, very interesting, I think.
So we've got a really good question from Michael O'Malley, just while we take a pause there. What effect will Flores have on the D this year? I think we have some ish we haven't seen from Pittsburgh. I don't know. I think I know what you mean by that. But we did talk a lot about that on last week's show. You know, because we did this same odd man out for the defense and we did talk about Flores and we talked about Flores the week before, but I think Mark and I both agree that, you know, and obviously Mark jump in, but like, you know, Flores is definitely putting a stamp on this D in different positions, but he's doing it in a respectful way, with Terrell Austin, and we can only be of benefit. I know the guys on the preview spent a lot of time talking about this yesterday as well. But I also, anyone that thinks Flores is here to take over from Tomlin, especially if you've listened to that Pivot podcast.
He's a head coach that is a linebackers coach. He's going to help us out tremendously. And just more leadership as well for these young men to get out there and go play. You can already see in some of his interviews and when he was, you know, working with the fellas that he's ready to play. He's focused on being a Pittsburgh Steelers linebackers coach, I think.
Yeah.
And that will set him up to, yes, he's dealing with the legal stuff with the NFL, and I'm not talking about that, but he can go sort it out, right? But he's getting himself back to, okay, I can be a head coach. I don't know why I was fired. And and give me a year or two with Steelers, and I'll show you why I'm a head coach, because his linebacking core will be, you know, one of the best. And look at the players he has. You know, he's got so many good players. So I know Mike Tomlin's excited, and Mike Tomlin reached out and said, Tomlin didn't reach out and say, oh, I want you to play for us first. He reached out as a friend, as a man, and said, hey, are you okay? And then 3 or 4 weeks later, things started to happen. So yeah. I'm excited to see him get another chance because he was a tremendous head coach. Going to be with the Dolphins and could have turned them around. And that game against the Ravens was one of the best games I saw last year. I always say, go watch it. It was one of the best games. They zero blitzed him like 75% time. Lamar Jackson had no idea where to go. No idea where to go. The safety was down there. Javon Holland was down there and making tackles. Like, it was so much fun. So if he can bring that little bit of leadership to the Steelers in this already nice defense we have, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, let's move to the next position. And we appreciate that this position riles fans up. We also appreciate that this position is not going to be sorted out in no matter how many podcasts talk about it for several weeks to come. And we also appreciate that we've probably got a 5 minute, 8 to 8 minute time limit on this show to talk about this position. The live chat, be ready. Let's be nice to each other. It's the quarterback position. Chris Oladokun, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and Mitch Trubisky.
I thought you were going to talk about the fullback. I thought you were talking about the fullback was the most vital.
We'll talk about them as at the tight end position. But that equally can be divisive. That equally can be divisive amongst
them. So we're doing odd man out, right? Back to the narrative of the show. Correct. Odd man out has to be Chris Oladokun, I think.
Okay. So you're taking mature approach. I like that.
Well, that's what I think the Steelers would do, right? Yeah. As an organization right now, we know what the Steelers normally do. They will probably start Trubisky. They will put Pickett on the bench or, you know, not make him wear a helmet and then have Mason Rudolph as backup. That's what they probably do. Fans, however, odd man out, want Mason Rudolph gone and keep Oladokun, which I think as well. But we'll see, because we don't know, right? I don't know what you think, but like odd man out for me for a Steeler is Chris Oladokun, because he'll probably be not cut or practice squad.
Yeah, this is the... I feel like there's a game of chicken going on right now, right? With the league and Mason Rudolph. Like, it's just... There are, you look at other rosters and other quarterback rooms, and Mason Rudolph would easily be the second player or like potentially even a starter if you do look at some rooms. I don't think we play the type of offense that is ever really gonna have worked for Mason Rudolph. I think if Canada would come in a bit earlier, potentially that's a different thing. But when you look at what Mason Rudolph has done, that experience there, you're hard pressed from a training, camp perspective. I think after that, someone will look to bring him in through the preseason. However, they might also say they want to bring him in for the training camp side of things. So, I mean, these are some things to think about. But as the roster is right now, if we start the season and we have, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett's really the number two, even if he's listed as number three, and then you got Mason Rudolph, that is actually a good thing, Steelers fans. That is a good thing. Like, Mason Rudolph has that starting experience. I mean, if Trubisky goes down in week two and they feel Kenny's like a week or two off being ready, don't start Kenny Pickett. Start Mason Rudolph. Right? Like, we've got to be mature. Like, I know you draft a quarterback in the first round, you draft him in the top 20 players, he's going to be starting at some point, right? Like, the reality says that, we're in a society now that's run by instant gratification. I mean, that's just the way it works. But having a guy like Mason Rudolph, because what if, let's play devil's advocate. I know people go, oh, no, it's the yips. But what if Trubisky tore his ACL in week one, like Zach Banner did a few years back, or Ben Roethlisberger when he did his elbow halfway through the Seahawks game? You want Chris Oladokun backing up Kenny Pickett? Because the stats say that a rookie quarterback's going to miss a game or two with something that goes on, right? Or what if Kenny Pickett has a really bad game and they're like, want to pull you out, give you another week, particularly if it's like a week before the bye? There's a lot of scenarios where actually having Mason Rudolph as the third quarterback is a good thing. Michael Malice is having two head coaches an advantage. Correct. But like, it does make sense. However, my caveat is if someone wants Mason Rudolph and you can flip that for a fifth pick, a better than a seventh, I don't think it's worth trading the seventh, but if you can get a sixth or a fifth for him, do it. Because I also don't want to see Oladokun on the practice squad and someone else takes him. Do you know what I mean?
Agree.
Like, I want to see him.
I think realistically, what's going to happen is Trubisky will start, Rudolph will probably be backup, and Kenny Pickett will be third, and then Chris Oladokun will be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And depending if he stays there or not. However, I think a lot of fans, we're playing this game where, I don't think he can start Kenny Pickett right now. I just think the way that, and the Steelers are smart, right? So say, for instance, your scenario
also, happened. Sorry, I'll just say one thing. Why would you... All of us are sitting here and we're about to talk about the wide receiver position with Pickens and Austin. You want Austin's and Pickens getting the feel from the game, probably from Trubisky, less so from Pickett. That's all I'm going to say to start off. But yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you with your example, say Trubisky, or if he starts and then doesn't start, 3 weeks later, then you are right. The depth you have then is what? Kenny Pickett, Oladokun? No, you're probably better off having a backup quarterback that is Mason Rudolph, that has been playing the league. He's got career starts under his belt. Yes, he hasn't had the best numbers, or he hasn't had the most scored points. However, as the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're probably thinking, well, he's our backup quarterback. He's a guy who can go out there and start and maybe get a win or two. So, but look, they could shock everyone. The Pittsburgh Steelers could shock everyone and say Kenny Pickett had the best camp. And just go and start Kenny Pickett.
And you know what? Steelers fans as well, even if you don't like the situation that we've got right now, it could be worse. We could be the Browns.
Oh, it could be very
traded all these first round picks and $230 million.
Yeah.
And then is starting Jacoby Brissett.
They can't even play him. Like, that's crazy. That is like the ultimate
Maybe we should trade if they love Pickett, right? Let's say Pickett balls out in training camp. Trade Trubisky. to the Browns. I wouldn't want to do that. He's just had a little kid, you know, and poor wife, she'll leave him. They're trading to the Browns for Nick Chubb and, like, you know, Denzel Ward.
Imagine getting
with Denzel Ward, we can't afford. I'm being silly, but, like, can you imagine?
Getting a running back set of Najee Harris and Nick Chubb and taking away two more first round picks of the Browns. The Browns don't pick number one overall to 2028.
Well, knowing their history, that's probably a better scenario than picking later where they pick first rounders that just cost them money.
Oh, that is so funny because, yeah, like, we are in a pretty good situation with, you know, the quarterback.
We've got three genuine starters. Like,
rookie, up and coming rookie who can hopefully go out there on ball. Trubisky, who can play. And Mason Rudolph, who can also play as well, depending what they want to do. And then the Browns on the other side have Joshua Dobbs, you know, thank you, mate, but, you know, you're okay. And they have, who's it, Brissett? And that's it. That's all they have.
But also, the other thing is, back when Mason, let's rewind, like, to week 6 or 7, 2019, when Ben was out and it was Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. If you said, if you said to a Steelers fan then, you know, in a couple of years' time when Ben's retired, we're gonna land the top quarterback in free agency, Mitch Trubisky, who in 2019, I'm pretty sure that was one of the years he took Chicago to the playoffs. So you told that to a Steelers fan, they'd be like, what the heck? And then you said, and we're also gonna draft the best quarterback in the draft at the 20th pick of the draft. People would have told you were an absolute, you know, imbecile and you needed to go to, like, the madman home. Like, the men in the white coats would be coming out. Like, we've got to be grateful.
Well, Michael O'Malley here says it best here on YouTube land. He says, whoever wins quarterback one wins quarterback one. And I'm in that camp as well. Like, I really don't care, but I just want to see the camp battle. I'm pretty excited too. Are you excited to see Kenny Pickett and Trubisky throw a football? Like, for the Steelers,
yeah,
right?
I am, actually.
We haven't seen that. It's a new era after Big Ben, so I'm excited to see those fellas go out there and play a preseason game. Like, let's be real. It's going to be super fun to see him play the preseason game.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to running back because we've still got wide receiver and tight end and fullback to cover off.
Right.
The running back room is Mateo Durant, Trey Edmonds, Najee Harris, Anthony McFarlane, Benny Snell, Jalen Warren. Instead of saying you're the odd man out, who are your four starters right now?
Okay. So Najee Harris, number one. I'm going to put in there and Anthony McFarlane. I'm going to put in there. Not two, but he's in the depth chart. Are we including Watt or not? No. Okay. I know this is crazy, but I still like my guy, Trey Edmonds. So I think he always sticks around.
Slow as a wet week.
It's not that bad, dude. He's always there though. So he might be, I scratched that. He's always on the practice squad off and on, isn't he? He plays some weeks, some weeks he doesn't. So there's a lot going on in there. Ladies and gentlemen,
let's just say there's some discussion about Robert Kraft and some of his, well, not discussion, there's
it's like four comments in a row. I can't even escape it. Like,
yeah,
all right, neither could. No, I'm not gonna finish that joke. I'm not gonna finish that joke. Okay, yeah. So we have look, I'm gonna leave Benny Snell to last. That's the one that really trips me out the most. But Najee Harris, McFarlane, maybe one of the undrafted guys. You know, I think we have. I think if I'm having four running backs, I'm using Watt as the fourth.
Okay. Seattle has 9 losses. Okay, what do you say? Like, Watt is the fourth running back?
Yeah, I'm not gonna have four running backs. I'm gonna have, like, Watt will be the fourth fullback running back.
Right. So we'll get to what. I mean, yeah. I mean, I want to see what this Mateo Durant guy can do, but I think we've all hyped him up, and you can just see him preseason, like, running into a guy fumbling the ball. Ba-bow, you're out. Like,
it happens too in preseason.
But they do have to address, even if it's next year's draft, they've got to bring in a running back to back up Najee. They just got to, like, you know,
something needs to happen, because is this the time that is time for McFarlane and Snell? And we've been saying that for 2 years. We've been saying it for a long time. It's like, okay, when are you going to actually run past the second yard, you know, 2 yards?
The other thing I would say about D'Ernest Johnson is don't be surprised to see him actually get cut, because, like, if you look at the Browns, they drafted Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford had probably had a bigger, you know, he probably had a bigger projection coming out of college. And then Kareem Hunt still hasn't signed anywhere. He could find his way back to Cleveland potentially. So,
well, the thing is he our second running back behind Najee? Is he even on the roster? Is he going to come?
That's basically my point. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be anyone coming in, right? So, the odd man out is everyone besides Najee. Najee, you're fine, mate. You're one of the, like, you go back and watch his highlights and he got bigger this year.
But Najee is also a bit of an odd guy. Like, he didn't even have a Christmas tree. Like,
yeah, it's true. But like, he's just, I remember.
Nah, he's a legend. He's an absolute legend.
Dude, he's carrying four people on his back. He wants to win. He wants to be a stealer. And that's what I love about Najee. And he's just so humble. He wants to, like, not only do you mind he's getting paid all the money, but when he's on the field, he's like, okay, I got to get the ball to there. I'll go do that for you. They're thinking about nothing else. And the other guys are, well, odd man out because McFarland saw one snap last year and the undrafted guys. I would love to see one of those guys, you know, make the team.
That's it. All right, we'll move on to tight end and fullback because, like defensive line last week, there are a billion wide receivers on this roster. Yeah. Or linebackers. Linebackers were a lot last week, too. So you got Patty Freiermuth, my man, Zach Gentry, Kevin Rader, Jay Sternberger, Connor Haywood, and, of course, Derek Watt. So you're going to have some brothers there of other Steelers players. For me, like, Gentry and Freiermuth are definitely two of the three spots at tight end. And then I think it's Connor Haywood. Although, I really like Jay Sternberger. I think given a chance, he can do stuff. To me, he's higher on the depth chart than Kevin Rader. But I also think it depends. If Gentry was to get injured, for example, then, you know, Raider's probably more going to replace Gentry with Jay Sternberger, a bit more like a, you know, Pat Freiermuth type. So it's kind of a bit dependent there. But I can't see Connor Haywood missing this roster. And as much as I would like Derek Watt to potentially miss the roster, I don't see that happening given the special teams situation.
Exactly. And speaking of special teams, Kevin Rader was pretty good on teams when he has played for the Steelers. He's a big unit, can block and stuff like that. But going out being a pass catcher, I see as well. I see Muth, I see Gentry. I see why else would you go out and sign Connor Haywood if you don't want to use him? So you would use him sparingly to be that number third tight end / fullback, put him on the roster. And I see also as well being Watt being there too. And the guys that are outside looking in are Jason Sternberger. Although I think I've seen little bits of footage of him. He looks like a pretty, you know, talented tight end.
He was doing pretty well for Green Bay. And then basically he got injured and they brought him back. And then there was an off-the-field situation. And then he got injured again. And then they kind of, like, cut him. But, I mean, he'd been doing pretty well. Like, he was a breakout player. Like, big breakout player.
Yeah, but it's almost like now because I think – you know, we were talking about Gentry 2 years ago, but not even catching the football. And now he's becoming in a lot of the Steelers'
mind. Do you remember one of the shows about 6 months ago? It might have been in January. You and I were having a massive laugh about Gentry and like
one pass all year.
Yeah.
I think it was. And then
it was before last season. It was right before last season.
Last year he had about, I think he had more than one catch. He had about maybe 10 or so, but he had a big play. In one of the games, it went for about 15 yards because no one marked him up.
Well, he had to be playing that Ravens game where he had like a 40-yard pass or something from Ben. Remember?
Yeah, that might have been. I'm not sure. But yeah, he's slowly come into – and even now, the Steelers media are kind of showing us like he'll be part of the team as well because they're playing – they're showing Muth and Gentry together, you know, the two
well,
brothers.
Well, I didn't realize as well, like Gentry was a quarterback drafted by Michigan. Like the guy can understand the game, you know. And then he started transitioning.
It can be a very sneaky one in this offense too, because like I think the defenses won't really think about him. He'll be like the last resort to get the football, but he could become, you know, if Mitchell Trubisky starts using the tight ends over the middle, they might go to Muth, they might go to Gentry, and he's just so tall. Like once he can get things down, what third year?
Well, look at the height. Well, we're going to get to white wide receiver. Look at the height they've got now from the receiving perspective. You've got Patty Freiermuth at 6'5", you know, Gentry's 6'7", Claypool's 6'4". Pickens is 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". I mean, I've got him in front of me. Hang on. He's 6'3". He does classify as 6'3". So, like, you've got some big bodies there. Like,
yeah, that's why it's going to be very hard for Sternberg or Radar to make the roster, and they might be practice squad.
Miles Boykin as well. We'll get to him, wide receiver.
Yeah. But he's 6'4". I think Connor Haywood will be in there somewhere. It'll be those four: Connor Haywood, Watt, and the two tight ends. But they could shock us. I don't know if they're going to put Haywood on the practice squad, and if no one else picks him up, and then they bring in...
If they put him on that practice squad, they know he's gone.
Well,
now, I don't think they're pick. I'm not. I don't think they're just going to pick him on the roster because he's Cameron. Like, I never thought that.
Right.
Being Cameron Haywood's brother, if he gets a spot, he'll have earned it. But it will factor in to their mind, I think, that about losing him.
Also depends on how they're going to use the tight ends on the field as well. You know, if they're going to be more
well, and that's or... what I that's where I think that Haywood makes sense because I think he's going to play that H back role in the Matt Canada offense.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I don't think Derek Haywood's on this roster next year.
He can who? Sorry,
Derek Watt. Sorry, I said Derek Haywood. I don't think Derek Watt is on the roster next year.
That's fair enough. But he can run the football too, right, Connor Haywood?
Correct. That's why I also think Trey Edmonds is.
And he's a bit. What I did see from his highlights, he's a bit of a just like he is Benny's still football, right? He runs down and just smacks him in the face. So he might even take Benny's role there, which could also free up
Benny's
another spot.
Safe because of special teams. Benny's safe.
But
the fair thing about Benny though is that we saw what happened when he had an offensive line going forward in that Ravens game in 2019, right at the end of the season. So in that dark, dingy game where it was just raining and it was so, like, I think from that perspective, you know, behind a decent O-line, he might have a few holes that open up. You know, he could prove his worth.
This is the time to talk about in the offseason because we haven't seen it yet. But this is like, you know, I think Brian Brown says here, Matt Cunningham supposedly has this genius offensive plan that we haven't seen yet. And it's true because Big Ben, we couldn't see it last year because Big Ben was out there, you know, drawing up his own plays. And this is a perfect opportunity for Matt Cunningham this year to say, here's my offense and here, let's go score points. And well, I can't wait. I really can't wait.
Yeah, and look, Brian, you're a regular of this show. You know, for almost 12 months, I keep saying, I literally said this for 12 months. Everyone keeps talking about the Matt Cunningham offense. What is the Matt Cunningham? Is the Matt Cunningham offense good? Who fits into it? Does he still use H-backs? Does he use wide receivers differently? Does the running back go on to center or do they throw a quarterback on the center or do they throw a shotgun? Like the Matt Cunningham offense is, we haven't even see it. You know,
it's
we'll fire it out of Pittsburgh and he'll go, I never got to implement my offense properly. Like
it's like one of your mates. If I was saying to someone, me and my girlfriend, I'm like, Mark, we've never seen your girlfriend. Oh, she's around. She's around. I swear. I hang out with her all the time. What's her name? Amy. Or wasn't it Michelle last week? Amy. You know, she's cool. Yeah, that's we have built this thing up, and that's what we do as fans, like the Matt Cunningham offense. It's just an offense that he's coaching, right? And
it's you meet those people that are like, you know, you meet people and, you know, whatever you do after school, and they're like, oh, yeah, at school I did this and I did that. And you look at them and you're like, I don't know.
Oh, just lying through their teeth.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know about that. Like, everyone I talk to always played, like, Australian schoolboys rugby. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Like, how many all pros from the same school can go there? Like, you didn't go there.
100%. How many people made regional? I'm like, everyone I talk to at the pub says they made regional. Like, oh, it's like making state in the US. Like, no, I don't think so. All right, well, let's move to wide receiver. Calvin Austin, III. Miles Boykin, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Anthony Miller, Gunnar Olszewski, George Pickens, Steve Sims, Tyler Snead, Tyler Vaughns, Cody White.
Can I name how many receivers you think you're going to have? I'm going to have, I think, six if I were choosing.
I don't know, six.
Gonna, yeah, six. Can I name my six? Can yeah, I say, go. Yeah, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pickens, Gunnar Olszewski, Calvin Austin, and the last one, I don't know... I'm trying to think between Anthony Miller and Boykins. So I'm going to go with Miller because he's got the connection with Trubisky, but that's my six.
All right. If I was the GM, I pretty much agree with you, but Anthony Miller's making this squad no matter what. I think Steven Sims makes a practice squad just with what he brings to the table, but Anthony Miller is making this squad due to the familiarity with Trubisky. And I think he can actually, given the chance, he's a really good fourth string wide receiver. Player. But for me and the Matt Canada offense, which I've just swagged off for like 2 minutes, I know Gunnar Olszewski can return, you know, is a good return man. To me, he goes onto a practice squad and I'm keeping Miles Boykin there. But I'm assuming that Boykin's going to do well in the preseason. If he doesn't, then Gunner makes it. So I think there's only really one wide receiver position to play.
And who's your kick return guy? Is that going to be Austin?
Yeah, I would probably do Austin. I know Haywood can return kicks. I know Miller. I think Miller's even returned some kicks.
Has Austin done in the past, though? Yeah, even though he's really fast, but has he played that position?
Yeah, he returned some kicks at Thingo.
Right. So they could cut.
I did just score in Madden with Calvin Austin. I did just score 3 return touchdowns in the Super Bowl AFC Championship and first week of the playoffs.
He's lightning fast. So I can see that too. So they're going to, they pay the man, but then cut him because he doesn't work out for the squad.
Benny Snell can receive as well, I think.
Return touchdowns?
Not return touchdowns, but I think he can catch. I think he's not – by receive, I mean,
Yeah, we'll just stand him, 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and get those.
Well, they all kick it out for a touchback anyway. Like, who cares? Just sort of bounce into the end zone, 20-yard, go again. Like,
oh, that's funny. Yeah, well,
Najee Harris. Imagine Najee Harris. Give him the ball like that.
Oh, man, if he just ran straight as hard as he could, you'd probably.
That's what I'm saying. Just run straight, is what you like to say. And like,
yeah, why don't they put running backs back there? They put Switzer.
Well, I think often you got to think about it too with a running back. Like that, there was that trend for like 20 years where most teams like ran the first play of the game was a running play. You're not going to have your starting running back catch the ball and then have to line up and go again straight away.
Stay on the field, mate. Stay on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Right. These days where everyone's kind of protected.
They're taking away the kickoff return because we had the return specialist, AB for a long time was, probably our last good one. And other than that, kickoff returns, you don't see much, do you? Maybe
can Boykin
2 times out of 10?
I'm just going to look that up.
Who's that? Sorry?
Boykin.
I'm not sure. I think he plays gunner. I think he's also a gunner.
I know he's done gunner, but I thought. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I guess are we going to go talk special teams or nah, this is just the offense today?
Well, yeah, like I looked at punter last week because I associate that as a defensive position and kicker the other way around, but.
We've got a few minutes. How do you think?
One more. Does Cody White make the practice squad because his dad's in
the he's got to make something, he's got to make something, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of think it's that there's. The 4 wide receivers, I know we're jumping around a lot, but 4 wide receivers are Deontay, Chase, Pickens, and Austin. And then who might be the other 2? As you and I try and debate now, we don't know, right? And could it also be someone else coming in? But I kind of like Miles Boykin too. He's a kind of a fun receiver as well. You need someone with a bit of grit because we know Pickens is going to have a bit of a grit too. But I don't know. I don't want to see Osheski out there if he can't move the football, You don't want to waste a spot. Like when they wasted that spot with Switzer? You don't want to waste it, do you?
Yeah, I'm electronic football, man.
You look back at that and you're like I always have hope for anyone. And then you look back and go, yeah.
I didn't. I was never on that train. I don't have to look back. I don't have to look back. I wasn't on that train. On the Big Ben.
By default, I have to. Like, I'm like, I'll give him a chance. And you're just like, yeesh, boy. Like, he was bad, wasn't he? Didn't move anywhere. Like, he caught the ball, went...
Do you know what it was like? It's like if you ever get out, like if you've, when you had like a remote control car or whatever and you get it out after you haven't played with it for a little while and it just, it's a gear slower. it's not even working. The one wheel's not spinning. It's just not.
And he was there. Switzer was there because of Ben, right? Because Ben wanted him at the 5th receiver and they, I don't know who they got. Oh, they got rid of Deontay Johnson, right? Did they not?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Well, that's the other thing in this. We talked about Deontay Johnson then, right? Deontay Johnson.
Deontay.
No, but Spencer. Deontay Johnson can receive. Like, right. Not receive. Of course he can receive. Why I keep saying that? Receive the kickoff is what I want to say.
Hmm. But they got rid of, is it Spencer, the Bronco? Wasn't he the one cut?
Deontay Spencer?
I think it was him cut rather than Switzer. But yeah, it's always funny. Like, I know we're near the end of the show, but it's always funny that no matter what we think, there's always like 1 or 2 things that we go, really? Are you serious? You're going to cut that guy? He's good. We're going to keep him? So, yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, what are we waiting? 27 days away from, or 20 days or something, or 25 days away from training camp?
That's it. Anything else for the listeners this week, Mike D, before we wrap it up?
I think you guys have the 4th of July coming up. So, you know, have fun.
Oh, yeah.
In the next few days. So, yeah, have fun. Stay safe. Represent your the black and gold Steelers wherever you go. You know, just and if you're having conversations, just shout out BTSC or, you know, what podcast you listen to and shout us out if you want to. You don't have to, but, you know, just talk about Steelers. Like, that's the funnest time I ever had over in America was just meeting someone and talking football when I'm wearing or representing the black and gold, because we're getting hyped up now into the season with training camp and then preseason football. And I'm just excited to see what's going to happen, really. It's been a long off season.
Yeah, and I want to back that up, Mark, and your good point on bringing July 4th up. You know, America, all we'll say is that, like, you know, I know it can be a bit divisive over there and, you know, everyone's got something negative to say and, you know, it's the same in our country about our country. But I can tell you, Mark and I have been to America probably up 20 times between us, almost, probably roughly, right? You know, have a good love for your country, have always been well treated in your country. And, you know, as a country that's considered, you know, very good allies with America and Australia, we like a lot about it. No country is perfect. But no matter what, you should always be proud of where you come from. You know, things aren't always going to be perfect, but, you know, both any American and any Australian are pretty lucky to live in the countries that they live in. So I had the pleasure of doing July 4th over there in Texas, 1 year. Had these like frozen cocktails that had like blue, white, and red in them. It was mad. Like, they all sat there and they were awesome. But yeah, you know, we just celebrate what you've got because, you know, we're all pretty lucky.
Oh, it's awesome that me and my dad went over there, and before the pandemic, we did a USA, you know, history tour kind of thing from New York to Washington, Philadelphia to Gettysburg,
Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, Philadelphia is cool when you look at like Liberty Bell.
Philadelphia, there's so much history there, and that's where like you guys pretty much started with all your stuff, and then they moved everything to Washington. But yeah, it's so fun over there, and they treat us the Australians with you know, we have a bit of a banter, a bit of fun. So like, we love it over there. Like, I love just hanging out with the Americans and just, you know, teasing them or having a bit of fun back and forth. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this week's Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matty Peverell with Mark D as always. Happy July 4th.
Go Steelers.